Heed my warning, Earthrealmers. What you're about to face is vastly more important than your ego, your enemy, or your quest for revenge. The realms are in crisis, and no matter my efforts, the future remains in peril. To that end, I have enlisted the aid of Mortal Kombat's true champions. The Elder Gods have spoken. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, Episode 96.
That was awesome. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 96 for the week of April 29th, 2019. We're so close to 100 episodes. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, never missing except for that one time back in the beginning when you got really, really sick. You were a sick boy that one time, Andy. But you are here. You are the co-host. You are the co-owner. You are my best friend. It is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel good. I feel like a jolt of energy is rushed through my entire being right now.
Bolt of lightning right through the top of my head out to my toesies. I'm feeling it. And you heard the voice. He's here. This is Richard Epcar. He is Raiden/Ryden, whichever you. Everybody says it differently. But he's
Raiden.
Here.
Raiden is the correct
word. Raiden.
Yes.
The yeah, god
don't say
himself.
Raiden.
I always get them
don't
mixed up.
Say Raiden, unless you're from Outer Slavovia.
Well, Richard, welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens. It is an absolute honor having you here, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. This is going to be a blast. This is, of course, our final episode in our month-long celebration of Mortal Kombat, celebrating the release of Mortal Kombat 11 and talking about the legacy of Mortal Kombat and everything like that. But, of course, if you're new to Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, just like Richard is, this is a show where Andy and I and a guest go over the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about and have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDSpodcast, just like our Patreon producers, Alex Gonzalez and Gavin McCrinn. Gentlemen, we cannot continue to grow without your support, and we do appreciate it. Remember, you could support us for as little as $1, and that $1 gets you two things. One, VIP access to our Discord channel, and two, a bonus episode every month that you decide what the topic is. If you want to be a part of the show, you can email us your questions, comments, and concerns to feedback@ndspodcast.com. Now, all that fun stuff is out of the way, or that not-so-fun stuff is out of the way. Andy.
Yes?
First, I want to say, this is going to be awesome. Very excited about this. Richard, super jazzed about this. But we have a bunch of nerdy, if you could believe it, more nerdy stuff to get out of the way, which of course is, Andy, what have we been playing and what do we recommend? And in our pre-show, we both had mentioned that we were going to talk about the same game. So I figure the two of us can just talk about it right now.
Right, and there's a no more fitting game for this segment.
Indeed.
And for this episode, it's all Mortal Kombat based.
Right.
Super Blood Hockey.
Good Lord, Richard.
Holy crap.
Yeah, fun.
Oh my God. So the premise of this game is, it's a sprite-based hockey game. So you're thinking like NES-style hockey game. Old Nintendo, 80s, late 80s, early 90s stuff. And the whole premise is that you sign up to join the Blood Hockey League, but you can't fund your team. So in order to fund your team, they take one of your kidneys, and your entire team is drafted via prisoners in a prisoner system. There's like 100 prisoners that all have different stats, and you draft and buy these players, and you make them fight or play hockey, and there's blood everywhere. In this game,
who comes up with this shit? That's what I want to know.
Very, very, very strange people.
The heroes.
I think so. My God.
So it's 4-on-4, well, 5-on-5 if you include the goalies, but the whole point is it's very arcadey. It's just, you know, get the puck in the net. But when you fight, you whoever wins the fight, whichever team has a man left standing, the opposite team gets an injury to one of their players. And depending on how much brain damage the player has will dictate the severity of their injury. I have killed multiple people on the ice, and they're just laying there in a pool of their pixelated blood. It's absolutely hilarious, and it really is. It's so funny. Like the injuries that they come up with, like the names for all their injuries. I'm gonna look them up. Andy, you tell us a little bit more about the game, about your experience with the game.
Listen, I'm not.
Thank goodness I have nothing to do with violent games.
No, of course not. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not a huge sports fan, even less of sports video games, but this took me back to the days of Blades of Steel when I was a young kid.
Yep.
That excitement and energy and liking a hockey game again made me feel good. And just seeing just scores of blood everywhere on the ice and like Zambonis rolling in.
You two are not well.
So one of the injuries, this was an opponent that I injured. It says Karzov, that's the guy's name, suffered a disabling injury, which means he was going to be out for the game. And his injury was partially disfigured testicle.
Ooh.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Now that's a fatality for
that,
the record.
That is really, really painful.
There was a fatal injury to a player, which was a rather fissured intestines.
Wow.
There was a rather fissured nose.
How do you fissure a nose?
Punch it violently, I guess. I don't know the answer to that question, Andy. But this game is so much fun, and it's actually really deep. It's got a lot of RPG elements as far as balancing your team. There are activities that you could do in your off time that will either enhance some of their stats or can take away some of their brain damage. So that you're trying to keep your players alive as they level up and get better. You obviously want them to be alive. It's just a blast to play, and I'm having just so much fun with it. Look for my review. It will be out this week. I should be putting the finishing touches on it. I want to play a little bit more of the other modes. I've been playing primarily franchise mode, but I want to test some other parts of it. Maybe Andy, you and I could link up for an online play, see how that works. If there is online, I don't know if there is.
Get into action at some point.
There are a ton of games coming out this week, Andy. Let's just touch up on the biggest games coming out this week before we get into our lead topic here. What do we got here? We have Shovel Knight, King of Cards, is coming out in April.
And that's all worth playing this week.
And it just says April. Nothing else has a date except for Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age.
Which costs too much for Switch.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
A lot of these games just say April on them. This is weird.
Yeah, I mean, if you scroll down a little bit, you got Duck Game coming out this week. Paradox.
That's also in May.
Oh, that's May. Oh, well, that's...
These are all May games.
Yeah, but that's all this week.
Oh, it's true. Duh.
Yeah, yeah. We have Black Paradox, which is a really cool shoot 'em up. I played that on stream. Probably wasn't supposed to, but I did it anyway. Played it on stream yesterday. Sorry about that if I wasn't supposed to. But yeah, Shakedown Hawaii is coming out on the 7th. Is that too far out? Yeah, that's too far out. So yeah, that's really the highlights. Swords of Ditto. Those are good games.
One of my favorite games from PAX East this year, the Valhalla Cyberpunk Bartender Action.
What, did I miss that one? Oh yeah, I did. Oh yeah, look at that. I remember that.
Makes drinks for like, you know, sad and depressed patrons.
Uh-huh.
It's really fun. I like it. It reflects my own life. In the depressing part of it, anyway.
Well, that's what's coming out this week. You know, check out the Nintendo.com if you want to check out what's officially coming to the Switch and 3DS this week. But that's going to take us into our lead story. I want to get into this thing real quick because, man, this is going to be exciting. So, Richard Epcar, you are playing the troubled god himself.
not as troubled as you two, it sounds like.
We're troubled in very, very different ways.
Listen, I think on the onset here, before we get into the whole your legacy, your career, you know, your 500 plus voice acting gigs you've had over your lifetime, why, Raiden, why do you keep fucking shit up so bad? I want to know, what's the deal, man?
you know, he's trying to do the right thing. You know, he's trying to protect Earthrealm.
His heart's in the right place.
But shit happens.
At some point, you think he's just going to be like, well, you know what? I tried. Fuck it. I'm done. Earthrealm, I'm sorry, but I'm done. I'm handing in my pointy hat, and I'm retiring somewhere in the aisles of some sort of realm. I can't see him doing this for much longer. I did not play the story of 11 just yet, so no spoilers for anybody. Andy, you still have my copy.
Well, we will for later in the show, so cover your ears when that portion comes about.
Well, I will have to leave then.
Yes, because, you will have to leave for that part of the show.
don't give him spoilers.
You gotta be careful.
He can walk away or mute his headphones, you know, one or the other.
You gotta be careful. People may not want to listen to the show.
You don't want spoilers. That's spoilers true. Are bad.
You don't want to spoil. But I did play a bunch of 10. And man, yeah. Raiden, dude, come on, man. Just
he does mean well.
He does, but it feels like
the
more emotional he gets, the more emotionally attached he gets, and the more emotion he puts into what he's trying to do to fix things, he just really just keeps screwing the pooch here. But story aside, for our poor god of thunder and guardian of Earthrealm,
it's Shakespearean in its breadth.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about how you started your involvement in the Mortal Kombat franchise. Let's go back to that beginning. How did that come about? I know it's a very vague question, but you know,
no, it's not. It's actually not a vague question. It was actually one of probably the most fun auditions I've ever had in my career, and I was brought in by Bridget Burdeen, who is a lovely. Person and casting director, and used to bring me in for a lot of games. And she brought me in one day, and this is for Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. Mm-hmm. And basically, they told me to audition for all of the Mortal Kombat characters and for all of the DC characters. And they had DC on the horn, they had Warner Brothers on the horn, everyone was listening. And, you know, I went down the line and played the different characters. You know, they show you a picture of the different guys. I wasn't totally familiar with all the different characters from Mortal Kombat. I knew more about the DC characters, to be honest with you, because I read those comics when I was a kid, you know, so I knew those guys. But, you know, I went in and I did my stuff, and then they asked me to do the Joker, which was really fun. And I don't even know where this voice came. This voice came out of me, and the laugh and everything. It was really fun. I thought, wow, that was kind of like an outer body experience, you know. So at the end of the session, Bridget came over to me. She said, that was really great. They liked you for everything. She said, what would you like to play? Which they never ask the actor. They don't care what the actor wants to play. You know, they always just kind of cast you the way they want to cast you. And I said, well, you know, I said the Joker was really fun. And I said Raiden was a great character. I really liked him. There's something about him I kind of connected with. And literally like a few days later, she called me and said, you booked them both. So that was really cool.
Unbelievable. And, that's so cool.
Yeah, so that's the way it worked. And, you know, and I have to say, initially, I thought kind of Raiden was the, you know, not the the fun one, to be honest with you. I thought, well, this character, you know, he's just kind of straightforward.
Sure.
But, you know, as we went along, I got to tell you, I really love Raiden. He's like my, you know, one of my all-time favorite characters, just because, you know, he's just such a good character. He's a noble, honorable character. He's, as you said, he's always trying to do the best. He may screw up at times, but he's trying to do the best. He has a good heart, and he's a, you know, he's trying to do the right thing. And I like that about him a lot. Whereas the Joker is just a really despicable character. And it's just kind of funny to me that people love the Joker so much because he's really horrible. But, you know, it's kind of a yin and yang character. And it's so much fun because I get to, in many situations, I get to fight myself as, you know, I'm Joker and Raiden, and they're fighting each other, which is kind of funny.
That's so cool. So you said you auditioned for almost everybody at that point. Like, how long was it per character, like the process of going in there and auditioning? Was it just you were just reading a few lines and then moving on to the next thing, or was it like this whole big to-do? Like, I can't imagine what that'd be like.
Well, you know, there's a lot of characters in Mortal Kombat. I don't think there were as many in the Mortal Kombat versus DC universe. They're basically maybe 10 right. main characters and maybe 10 DC characters. So 20 characters I was reading for, basically. And, you know, they would spend maybe 5 minutes on each character. So you would read, you know, maybe, oh, I don't know, maybe 5-6 lines, maybe more of each character. And, you know, like I said, they would show you a picture. And for me, that's great. When I can see a picture of a character, then a voice will come to mind and something will come out of me. So that was very helpful. And, you know, and like I said, it was really fun. It was like being a kid in a candy shop to be able to play all these different characters and come up with all this different stuff. It was really quite fun.
That's awesome. Andy?
Yeah, you've been part of the series for Mortal Kombat since DC Universe
all the way a decade
through. Right,
yeah. it's been a decade now, yeah,
and we've seen so many other voice talent kind of come and go in that time span, like others portraying Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Why do you have such staying power with this
year? I have illicit pictures of the producers with goats, so they know not to mess with me or I'll release them on the internet.
You know why? That's fair enough. And this thing, no, you know, gotta feed your family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. You know, honestly, I'm just very grateful that they've stuck with me and that they
so
like
are we,
me.
And, to be honest, and amazing.
And thank you. And you know, and I feel like I've really grown in this role. And I just think that it's, you know, once in a while you'll get something as an actor that's just really a good fit. And I think this is just a really good fit for me. And I, like I say, I really love playing this character, and he is, you know, he's very near and dear to me. And I think they appreciate it on whatever level. And I mean, they've been very, you know, at least to me, I mean, behind my back, they could say that Epcar is an asshole, but you know, they, at least to me, they've been, you know, very nice and very supportive of what I'm doing. And, you know, I love being part of this franchise. I love being part of this game. I think, you know, a lot of the credit goes to, you know, Dominic, who directs the game and writes a lot of the game. And, you know, all the writers that write on Mortal Kombat, they're phenomenal. I mean, the dialogue they give us, it's fantastic. And as an actor, to be able to have good dialogue and good, you know, good scripts, it just makes all the difference in the world. You know, when in this, we have these incredible vignettes where we have these amazing scenes that we're acting out. And, you know, in a lot of games, as you guys know, like the bloody hockey thing you're talking about, they're probably just screaming at each other the whole time, you know? So yeah, there's not like a lot of, you know, in-depth conversation or dialogue. And this there is, and it's really, as an actor, it's really meaty, and it's really gratifying to portray characters like that.
What was it like taking Raiden's character to that dark place? Because, you know, you're pretty much on the straight and narrow. You're trying to be the good, noble God of Thunder. And then when MKX raps, you're taking a much more sinister route. How did you find that voice for the dark Raiden persona?
Well, I loved it. I, you know, because, you know, part of it is, you know, Raiden is, you know, he's always trying to do the right thing, and then things get screwed up. So he basically just said, you know, enough of this. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And, you know, and I kind of thought that was kind of cool, to tell you the truth, although he's getting even darker as we're going along. Right. So, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, but I mean, I liked in the beginning that he just said, you know, enough of this, and I'm just going to, you know, destroy these guys. Basically, I'm not going to let anything get in my way. And I thought that was great. I love that about him.
What are sessions like for a game like a Mortal Kombat? Because it's the story mode is one thing, right? Like story, you have a script, you're reading your lines, maybe you're bouncing things off of actors. I don't really know if you're ever together with somebody or if you do everything, you know, solo, and they kind of mix everything together. But
in a
fighting game, and well, really any game these days, you're recording a lot of like you getting your ass kicked or, you know, chopping a brick in half and stuff like that. Like, can you explain or explain to our listeners that process, especially for a game? Because we've had two of the original Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat 2 performers. We had Master Piscina on, we had Catalin on last week, and they described the making the game kind of process way back then in 89, 90, 91. Can you give a little behind the scenes on how your part of making Mortal Kombat 11 goes from a day-to-day session?
Well, it's probably not a whole lot different than what they described. I mean, other than that we have, you know, much better technology now. But, you know, basically, this stuff is recorded at Warner Brothers, which is really wonderful to go on the Warner Brothers lot and record, you know, this stuff. We're in you know, studios, and we work anywhere from 2 to 4 hours per session. And we go in there, and they'll have scripted dialogue for us, and we'll go through the dialogue. And generally, we'll give, you know, sometimes 3 reads of each line, basically. And if the director likes what you're doing, we'll move on. If not, he'll give you an adjustment, and you know, we'll talk about it. Obviously, context is very important, because when we go in, we're basically just reading our lines, so we don't know what's going on around us. And right. That's why it's really important for the director to kind of tell you the context of the lines that you're saying and what's going on, so that you know how to deliver the lines correctly. And the, you know, you do that for a while. And once you get all of the dialogue out of the way, that's when you start doing all those fight sounds and efforts. And basically you're doing, you know, maybe 5 to 10, you know, they do small, medium, and large. So you'll do you know, some where you're giving damage, and then you'll do some where you're taking damage, and then, you know, they'll give you different scenarios that you're acting to, and you know, and then they have very specific things that they have in mind, because they've created certain things for these characters. And that's the way it goes, basically. And then they take all those tracks back, and then they animate to the tracks. And I'll tell you, every game, the animation gets better and better and better. And the animation in Mortal Kombat 11 is just phenomenal. They've done an amazing job. And in fact, I said to Dom this last time, I would love it if, and I wonder if the fans feel the same way, but I don't know if you guys saw the scene where Raiden is torturing Shinnok in that castle, basically. Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, takes his head and he's walking down. I just said, you know, I would love to see an entire animated feature like that, because it looks amazing. Can you imagine that, to do an entire feature in that animation? I think it would be just incredible. And I think, you know, I don't know, but I would imagine the fans would go nuts over that. I would. I mean, I'd love to see something like that.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's the thing about Mortal Kombat. Is, you know, we've had two live action movies back in the early 90s that were, you know, good, but one of them was good, I would say, quote, air quotes, good for the time. Yeah. It was good. You know, it doesn't quite hold up. And the second one was an abomination. But these are hard stories to really tell in a live action environment, you know, without relying heavily on CG. And I think it would be a great idea, especially because you could get, you know, voice actors that don't necessarily look the parts to go in there and still play those parts.
I think it would be great. Just bring the game voices in there, because you have that continuity and people recognize those voices, and those characters. I just think it would be a great idea. And you know, you mentioned the first movie, the live action movie. I actually did voice work on that back in the day.
Oh, no way.
And so did Ed, you know, Ed, who created, you know,
right. He did the Scorpions Get Over Here, right? He did that voice.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Well, he's I guess he's still voicing on the games.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. And I've never met Ed, actually. Last time I was there for a big convention, I think it was
C2E2 or something like that.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. C2E2. They're never going to have me back now after they hear that. But anyway, you know, I wanted to try, cause Dominic asked me, he said, will you be staying till Monday? Cause we'd love to have you come to the studio and meet the gang. Cause none of them believe that the same guy who does the Joker does the voice of Raiden. So I said, yeah, I would love to go see those guys and meet them and see the facility and the studio, but I haven't had a chance to do that. So if I ever get a convention in Chicago again, I'm going to definitely make time to go and meet those guys and meet Ed and all that. And I would love to. you know, go out there and see the facility, because they're just doing incredible work on this stuff.
All right. Well, I have a listener question for you, Richard.
Uh-huh.
This comes from Cerberus Driver. How many times a day do you consult with the elder gods?
This comes from Cerberus Driver?
Cerberus Driver.
Cerberus Driver. Okay. I think I had him coming back from the airport, actually. I don't know. You know, me, myself, I don't really talk to the elder gods, but, you know, I think it's a nice sentiment, I guess.
Every once in a while, you have to remember that it's fiction, Cerberus Driver.
Yes, Cerberus Driver.
Or do you yell by the elder gods when like something fucks up in your life, or you drop something accidentally, or stub your toe?
No, I do not.
He's not that method. Okay.
I think you should. Is what I'm trying to say.
It's like I don't, you know, I don't kill people as the Joker and laugh maniacally and walk away. You know, we are actors. We are playing parts.
Well, speaking of the Joker, this next question comes from Super Meat Girl.
Super Meat Girl?
Yeah. And she asks...
Is she tasty?
Oh, I hope so. All right. She asks, what was it like playing both Joker and Raiden in MK versus DC Universe?
It was wonderful. It was really great. You know, as I said, we basically record our characters one character at a time, and they cut it together, and it's amazing how conversational all this stuff sounds. It really is. So it was really cool to do that. And, you know, there's such different voices that, you know, as I said, the guys in NetherRealm didn't believe that the same guy did those two characters. So I think it's kind of cool to be able to do different characters. And that's what's so great about voice acting. You can basically, you know, voice any character that you can imagine vocally. Whereas if you're doing something on camera, you know, you're pretty much relegated to the way you appear. You know what I mean?
Right.
So although, you know, that's changing too with all the technology and everything. It is getting different. And there, you know, there are actors that are chameleons, and they're allowed to play these, you know, vastly different characters, which is really fun. But it's more so even when you're doing voice work, because you can basically play any kind of character, you know.
Right. And just a touch on your voice work, like your career, you've done so many things, like going through your IMDb page, like you played Bato in Ghost in the Shell, which first off blew my mind. I was like, fuck, I'm talking to Bato right now.
That's right.
But I want to get into one of your upcoming roles. I think it's your most important.
I have to tell you, I've done over 600 characters.
Yes, you have, which is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to get into one of your upcoming roles. I think it's your most important role to date, to be honest.
Really?
Yes, in my opinion. What was it like playing Sheep with Police Hat in Catherine Full Body? Give us a little bit of the process into becoming soon to be iconic character.
Is this coming out soon, or is this?
It says 2019. I think it's later this year.
It hasn't come out yet. Okay, good. I can't talk about it.
Good call. Good call.
Yes, I can't talk about any of these games that have not come out yet.
Andy, can you say that character one more time? Because I think I heard you right, but
yes, it is a sheep with police hat.
Sheep with police hat.
Correct.
Yes. Excellent.
I believe that's a reprisal of that part. I've already done that character.
Oh, there you go. So what was it like the first time around then playing?
Oh crap! I shouldn't have mentioned that.
And what did that picture look like?
Honestly, I didn't know I was a sheep at the time. They never told me you're playing a sheep. So that was, you know.
Oh, my God. That's
that was their bad.
Oh, man. Do we have other listeners?
We have another listener question here. Okay. We have this one comes from Jack Juices. Love that username, by the way.
I love these. The usernames are hilarious.
And he asks, what is your favorite fatality?
Ooh.
Of myself, or that I give to other people?
Let's we'll do it two ways. One, your favorite one of Raiden's, And then I guess overall,
well, there was one where he grabbed the guy's, he grabbed somebody's head and he just basically electrocutes a guy's till his head explodes. I thought that was interesting. And then there was another one that they showed on one of the trailers where actually Raiden gets this. It's I can't remember who does it. You guys will probably know it more than I will, but he rushes Raiden and he goes by him. And after he goes by him, basically Raiden's entire torso is gone except for his spinal column. So I thought, wow.
That's Scorpion, yeah. He's all burned through, right?
That is frightening. That was really frightening.
So when they're giving you scenarios to scream about,
yeah.
Do they say, all right, here, make the sound you would make if your face was cut off vertically, but like from the side and just your face, leaving half of your brain, but not all of your brain? Like, do they get into that kind of detail, or is it just like, no, your face is getting chopped up?
Sometimes they do. You know, it depends on if they want, how specific they want the the reaction to be. Sometimes they'll be very, very concise about what they want you to do, and sometimes they'll just basically do like generic screams and that sort of thing, and then they'll tag that on to whatever scene they're doing. So I mean, really a lot of the credit of this stuff goes to these guys that, I mean, it's a tireless job. They basically sit there and they're going through the animation and they're trying to match, they're trying to match a sound, a reaction to what we're looking at. So, I mean, that's like a whole other, kettle of fish right there.
It's crazy. So it's such a cool, like, art to be a part of, just like all these miscellaneous puzzle pieces just kind of being built in different parts of the world in some cases, and they just come together and it's like, here it is, the game is here. And you're like, I don't know 90% of the people that made this game, but we all made it together.
People don't realize how much work goes into these things, and it's crazy. I mean, it's just crazy the amount of work that goes into this stuff, and it's amazing, honestly, that it all works seamlessly. When it does work seamlessly, sometimes it doesn't, but when it works seamlessly, it's fantastic, because there's so many components and so many things that have to work together and so many moving parts that it's mind-boggling that it all works.
Do you find it easier to do voiceover work for games as opposed to anime, for example?
Well, in a way it is easier, because generally when I'm doing a game, I'm creating the character. So I'm basically just voicing the character. So what I have to do is I have to come up with a character and I have to read it and I have to voice that character. And then they animate to my vocal tracks. When you're doing anime, it's already been done. So you're replacing usually in anime, it's Japanese. You're replacing Japanese with English.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to match the lip flaps. You have to say the line, make it sound like you're saying it naturally. And at the same time, you have to, make it fit. So it's actually more difficult and more work to dub, which is what that is, sure, than to just do original, animation, which most games are original animation. I mean, we do, we get some games that are from other countries and we replace the dialogue on those, and that's just basically dubbing, just like you would do in an anime thing. But my wife and I, Ellen Stern, we have a company called Epcar Entertainment. I don't know where we came up with that name, but we did. And we do movies from all over the world. We've done a lot of Academy Award winning films, like Cinema Paradiso, Belle Epoque, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. And these are live action movies, and I write and direct these things, so I have to adapt the translation to fit the mouths, and that is really difficult, because you have to make it look like even they're speaking another language, but you have to make it look like they're speaking English, and that is a whole other art form in itself. So, and if you can do that, the animation is much easier by comparison. But none of that stuff is easy, and it's really difficult, and a lot of people just have no facility for it whatsoever, and it's tough. And actually, the dubbing should get paid more than the original animation because it's much more difficult, but it doesn't work that way. It works the opposite way. The original animation. Oh yeah, original animation get paid a lot better, a lot better. And the dubbing, you don't get paid as well, hardly at all. So, you know, it's interesting, but you know, that's kind of the way it's been since Hollywood was created. And, it's the, probably the way it always will be. So, you know, that's kind of what it is. And you know that going in.
Wow. Awesome. Any more questions, Andy, before we move on?
Yes, I have one last one here.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? this is from Might for Your Right. Okay.
I love these names. They're great.
Yeah, and he or she asks, what advice do you offer for any aspiring voice actors out there?
Go to medical school.
That is perfect.
No, actually, you know, if you really want to do this work, and apparently it seems like more and more people really want to do this work for some reason. I think people think it's an easy job. It's not. It can be very difficult, like anything. And basically getting in is probably one of the toughest parts of this work. It's just very competitive and very hard. And there's a lot of very good, really good people doing it and talented people. But you know, if it's something you really want to do and it's something you have to do, then my advice to you is to become the best actor you can be, do theater, you know, try out for things, read aloud every day. That really helps a lot because on the games and a lot of these shows that we do original animation, you don't get a chance. Well, original animation, they send you the script sometime, but you, for the most part, you on all the games, you don't get a chance to see the script until you're actually in the booth. So basically, you have to cold read a performance for this stuff. And that's a tough job for anyone. And there's a lot of, I've directed a lot of these things. And, you know, a lot of times they'll ask for celebrities to come in and do it. And they're terrible at it because it's just not their thing. They don't know how to do it. So, you know, if you want to do it, you have to be, you know, able to jump in that booth and just create a character and read it, you know, and make it come alive. And it's just, it's a lot more difficult than people think it is. And, but it can be done. And if it's something you really want to do, then go for it. And, you know, but be the best you can be and, you know, and go for it. And that's my advice.
I have one final question. This is from me. Before we move sure. on, you said you grew up reading comics and all that jazz. You've got to play the Joker. Who is the number one superhero that you would want to put a voice to?
Well, that's really tough. I mean, you know, my favorite character is James Bond.
Ooh.
So I would love to do anything on that. I would love to be a villain. I'd love to be, you know, I'd love to do him. I'd love to voice him. I mean, you know, anything. When
you'd
I was
make,
younger,
make
I wanted
a good Bond for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd love to do that. You know, I loved Superman back in the day before they made him evil and crazy, but you know, I kind of doing the same thing to Superman, what they did to Raiden, I guess.
Right.
You know, he was a great character. I just thought he was terrific too. And, you know, but you know, it's interesting. Out of all the, you know, I told you I did that audition where I voiced all the DC characters. The toughest one was Superman, just because there's like nothing to grab onto because he's just basically, you know, this good, nice, clean cut voice. And there's really like no character thing to do with him. You know what I mean? So he was actually very difficult to do. I would love to do Batman. I'd love to do it.
You definitely have a Batman voice for sure.
I would. Thank you. I would love to do Batman and the Joker in the same show. I think that would be really cool
to
do that.
That is a mind fuck of the most outrageous proportions.
But I think that would be a really cool thing. And I would, at some point, I would love to do a project where I'm Batman and Joker in there. I think that would be a very cool thing to do.
Well, we have friends that make video games. Just saying.
There you go.
All
there
right.
There you go.
Let's move on. Let's touch up on some of the news that hit this week. We'll go through them really quickly. The first one I want to do is the one that I put last here on the list, Andy, just because I feel like there's been a lot of crap going around about these. By the way, we're in the Nintendo News Report. a lot of stuff going around possible new Switch models, and now Nintendo has come out and said that they will not have anything major to announce at E3 for as far as a new console. However, there are reports coming out of retail chains that they've been asked to sell their current stock by June. So
that's not telling at all.
Right. So it's weird. And there's a bunch of different claims going around here, and I picked this up from I don't know, Pocket Lint. I don't know what this is, but they have a bunch of different sources here. Like Wall Street Journal says spoke to parts suppliers and software developers who claim that an enhanced version of Switch aimed at the more dedicated hardcore gamer is on the way. Alongside that will be a cheaper alternative with a couple of features suppressed, they said. This later model could be the oft-rumored dockless Switch with the attached Joy-Con controllers as shown in a cool concept render by Let's Go Digital. This would effectively make it portable only. You won't be able to remove the controllers on either side of the screen for two-player or motion gaming. It will keep the costs down, it claimed. And then, quote, Nintendo will launch a fully handheld version of the Switch at $199. Renowned analyst Michael Patcher told Games Industry at the start of 2019. I expect the device to have the same screen but with Joy-Cons built into the body and no docking station since it can't, quote, switch, quote, end quote, from handheld to console. It's hard to guess what they will call it, but let's assume the Game Boy. LOL, kidding, just kidding. If you scroll down here, they talk about a possible release date. Follow up on the suggestion that the new Switch consoles could be first announced at E3 in Los Angeles. Nintendo itself has debunked that claim, reported by Bloomberg after the company posted its end of fiscal year financial report, April 2019. Nintendo's president, Shintaro Furukawa, I got through it. confirmed that no new hardware will be shown at E3 2019. Quote, as a general rule, we're always working on new hardware and we'll always announce it when we're able to sell it. But we have no plans to announce it that at this year's E3 in June, he said. And that's the end of this article. So there's a lot of, I mean, it's all signs are pointing to something is going to change with the Switch hardware, something major, with the retailers being told to sell through their stock, more specifically online retailers. Walmart was one of them. So it's possible they're just making shelf room for something new. It could be just a new SKU, similar to what we have, but with maybe some minor tweaks. Or it could be a complete redesign. We don't know, but that is interesting news to say the least.
Right. Well, and here's my take on that before you move on. It's like when E3 rolls around, it's usually you see console sales on an uptick as things are announced. So they want to have supply to meet that demand on their shelves. So if they're asking for things to go away around June, something has to be announced that's going to, you know, make up for that lack of the original Switch model on store shelves.
Right.
So I don't know. Seems a little weird, but we'll see. It's only a month or so away.
Indeed. Let's talk about some concrete release dates for some games coming out very soon. This is coming from Nintendo Life. So Nintendo has put official dates on some of their bigger games coming out in the rest of 2019. Now, most of these just say a general time frame like fall and summer, but there are four games that do have a definitive date. Super Mario Maker 2 looks like it's coming out June 28th. Dragon Quest Builders 2 looks like a July 12th date. Fire Emblem 3 Heroes looks like it's July 26th. And then Astral Chain looks like it's going to be August 30th. I thought we already had an official date for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Which Richard is also starring in, by the way.
look at that. Look at that. You see how we do things?
I think I'm in a few of those that you mentioned, actually.
That's incredible.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So you're going to be the third wheel of Nintendo dual screens for the summer? Is that what you're saying? You're just going to be the third guest from now on? Get you on to talk about everything?
Yeah, that's right. I actually play a very, very important character in Marvel. I can't talk about that, but you'll find out.
I mean, if I was casting, you'd be Thanos, but that's just me.
Oh, thank you. That'd be awesome.
You got that guttural but buttery smooth baritone.
Wait, let me guess. He's playing Batman, isn't he?
No, I wish.
It's a Marvel game, you doof.
That's the joke, you dingus.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Well, make sure it's a joke because you know people will definitely tweet at us. All right, so the next bit of news also coming from the Nintendo Life. This is a Nintendo saying they have nothing. Nintendo has nothing new to announce for the 3DS in terms of first-party releases, which is pretty much signaling the end of the 3DS as far as game support from Nintendo goes. The quote here is directly, "We have nothing new to announce regarding first-party software for the Nintendo 3DS family of systems. We can confirm that new software is coming, however, from third-party publishers." So,
yeah, Persona Q 2, baby.
Yeah, buddy. And last on the Nintendo News Report, by the way, RIP 3DS, but, you know, it was bound to happen with the meteoric success of... Oh, that's something we didn't put on this news report. The Switch has officially surpassed the Nintendo 64 in sales, yes, in lifetime sales.
It has.
And it took four less years.
Next up is SNES on the list to overcome.
Yes, indeed. And then finally, that much rumored Persona 5S game that was coming to Switch has been revealed. We'll touch on this for a couple of minutes, but Persona 5 Scramble the Phantom Strikers is officially confirmed for the Switch. And again, this one also comes from Nintendo Life. After all the rumors, curiosity, and questions surrounding Persona 5S, we finally have an answer to what we, and this, the author here is Ryan Craddock, so go to Nintendo Life and give him the click. The game's full title is Persona 5 Scramble the Phantom Strikers, confirmed for the Switch during the concert in Japan. That's how they confirmed it. The game is a spinoff from the main series. Atlus has released the first trailer for the game, which you can check out on their page, but it's a action RPG created alongside Koei Tecmo. And you know what that means? It's going to be a Warriors style.
Hyrule Warriors.
Yep. And we got ourselves a Musou in the Persona 5 universe, which, okay, fine. As long as it handles better than that god-awful Hyrule Warriors on 3DS, we should
listen, guys, if you want to enjoy Persona 5 and Richard's role as the principal in that game, get on PS4.
Do it. Get it anywhere. Get it anywhere. Support all the Persona 5s.
You'll see me in a sheep suit.
there you go. If that doesn't sell you, I don't know what will.
Also, I want to say off the bat, I had no idea that he was in so many games in our news report, but it just happened to be that way because I think you just do all the voices for all the games, right?
The word you're looking for is prolific.
I'm actually working on a very cool game right now. Unfortunately, I can't talk about it, but it is really a cool game. You guys would love it.
You are video game voice acting. Like flesh and bone.
Well, I love it, man. It's been really fun. I've been very fortunate.
Andy.
Steven.
I can't wait for Richard to come along with us into the hype zone.
Oh,
this is
going
to be so hype.
This is where shit gets real, Richard. Oh, yeah.
What are we doing?
I hope you're sitting down because it's the hype zone time. This is where we talk about the absolute most important news. Unequivocally, nothing could match this news. I don't know if you could sense the sarcasm, but I'm laying it on pretty thick there, Richard.
Palpable.
This is more hype than Sheep in Police Hat.
It is.
Just saying.
This is true.
What could be better than that?
Well.
What indeed?
You're about to find out.
Andy, tell us. Right. Hit us with
it. So, Masahiro Sakurai, best known for the Smash Brothers franchise, has asked folks to stop assuming all of his tweets are hinting at something for Smash Brothers.
Uh-huh.
He recently put a picture of him playing Stardew Valley, and everyone lost their minds on Twitter. So you know what this means. We're getting all of Stardew Valley characters in the next Smash.
Correct.
Confirmed. Yep. DLC.
Confirmed. Yep.
Season Pass 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It's happening. Guys, you know, this is what we've been waiting for all of our lives, I feel.
This guy could take a picture of his foot, and people will think it has something to do with Smash.
Are going to be in Smash.
It's quite amazing, and I think we should go through his Twitter, especially his media posts on Twitter, and we should come up with this would be a great feature for DualScreens.com, which you can go to right now and read our reviews and editorials and previews and all that fun stuff. DualScreens.com. That's dual with an E, like fighting. We should write a feature based on every one of his pictures, what it confirms for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. That would be a great article.
It's going to happen.
We're going to do it.
It's going to happen.
And that is going to take us out of the hype zone. because I know that we're gonna.
God, I was sitting down for that.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You know, it almost knocked you right on your ass, but
it's a bit much.
Already on your ass.
Well, you made it.
It actually did. It actually did.
It actually, yeah.
Well, see? I hope you're ready, boys.
I landed on a sheep though, so it was okay.
The poor sheep.
Did it cushion the fall?
Yes, it did.
It was wearing one of those Party City police hats, though.
So. I hope you're ready for our last portion of the evening.
This is it. This is the home stretch here.
This is where we've all been building towards one moment. This is it, guys. This is our fun game to end the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is meant solely for Richard.
Oh, I get to be a
an innocent stander buyer and just witness the majesty.
Indeed,
that is Richard. Okay. We're going to call this Best Your Plight. Okay?
Best Your Plight.
Best Your Plight.
Sure, why not?
So, Richard, the elder gods are they've had enough of you, essentially. they've had up to
taking them long enough.
They've had up to here with your always fucking shit up.
Yeah.
So you are a thunder god no more.
Wow. Okay?
You have now been consigned to a fate worse than death.
Do I have to work at 7-Eleven?
Well, we'll get there.
We're getting there.
So I'm going to go through a series of new god roles for you.
Okay.
And you have to essentially act it out as Vader. Right.
Give us a couple of lines. Right. One or two lines in this new scenario.
Okay.
All right.
So you are now Raiden, god of men's footwear.
Arches, take you.
You are now Raiden, god of fine meats and cheeses.
We have a lovely camembert over here.
Wow, you went, that's a deep cut.
Yes, I love it.
That's a deep cut.
But what if you were the god of the hipsters?
Millennials everywhere. Have a care, young one.
My beard is not long enough.
Exactly.
What about the god of the MTA?
Oh, God. You don't want to be the god of the MTA. That's the Metro
Trail. Well, that's what happens when you fuck shit up, Steven.
The Metro what?
Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York City.
Oh, all right.
Talk about a fate worse than death.
Yes. This is Raiden. No peeing on the seats.
That could not be more helpful.
Speaking about peeing, you're also god of porta potties.
Oh, poor guy.
This is Raiden. Don't miss the hole.
Well, that also counts for a porn director. I'll cross that out.
All right, yeah, cross that one out. Yeah.
And finally, you're god of customer service representatives.
Oh my god. Can you
this
imagine?
Is Raiden. Where's your receipt? Be gone.
Just so this has become a cathartic exercise for how he would screw up multiple other
right
assignments from the elder gods.
Well, listen, the MTA is pretty screwed up as it is, so you can't do any worse.
No, the MTA, no. As a matter of fact,
he might make you better.
Raiden might, yeah, he definitely would improve.
We some Raiden, like MTA.
Are you guys based in New York?
Yes, again. Yes, we are. We are New York based. Yep.
I literally came back from New York last night. I was there and visiting my son, and he's the drummer for Mean Girls on Broadway.
Oh, awesome. Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, he was also the drummer for Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, and he's played with Rihanna and Justin Timberlake. He's on
unbelievable. That's great.
God, I'm trying to remember. He's done so much stuff. He had a band called Carney, and they opened for U2 in Canada, and he's done a lot of stuff. He was on Seth Meyers for a week. He was his drummer. And
awesome.
And I have to give my plug to my daughter, Jacqueline Epcar, who's an amazing singer-songwriter. She plays around the town here in Los Angeles and writes her own songs. She's incredible, really incredible. And my wife, I got to give her a plug. She's also a voice actress and director and does a lot of different characters. She's done hundreds of characters also and done a lot of games. And, you know, she and I are kind of in this together. So, and she actually is the one that got me into this business, the voice business. So I have to give her credit for that.
That's actually perfect segue to the end of the show, because I usually ask, you know, for you to plug whatever you want to plug. So why don't we just, we'll close out the show here. First of all, I want to thank you, Richard, for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you, and I look forward doing this again.
Can I mention real quick some of the conventions I'm going
to
be at?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I'm just going to do a little housekeeping, and then we'll roll right into that. So, folks, thank you so much for listening. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens. Remember, we are part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Whores, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast. If you want to follow the show on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/NDS Podcast. Thank you very much to Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines Podcast and Hit Buttons Gaming. Thank you so much for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. Andrew Douglas, thank you so much for all of our awesome, awesome art, especially our Mortal Kombat art. You've been doing such a great job, man. Thank you so much. And you can follow Andrew on social media at AngieMoto. Now, Richard, tell us all of the things. Where do you want people to find you?
All right. So May 3rd through the 5th, I'll be at Anime St. Louis in St. Louis, Missouri. Or actually, it's in St. Charles, Missouri. June 8th through the 10th, I'll be at Anime Next, which is in Atlantic City. Not too far from
AC,
you guys.
Ooh, AC, there we go.
Yeah, we have to go out there.
Yeah, you'll have to come up and say hi. And then June 27th through the 29th, I'll be at the Salt Lake Gaming Con, which is in Salt Lake City, Utah. July 26th through the 28th, I'll be at Otakon, which is a big, giant convention in Washington, D.C., not too far from you guys either. Nice, quick train ride from New York.
Sure. Road trip.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, you're not keeping yourself busy or anything. That's
no, I'll tell you, it's been really nuts, but it's good. I guess it's you know, I'm very, very fortunate, very blessed, and very happy to be what I'm doing. So, it's been a good thing.
And we are lucky to have you. I can tell you that much.
Well, thank you. You'll get my bill.
Perfect. Andy, is there anything that you want to tell the kids before we go?
You know, I've been so busy playing Mortal Kombat month, I forgot to book guests for next month. So announcements to come, hopefully soon on the Twitter.
Announcements to come soon. Yes. That's it, folks. That's been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 96 for the week of April 29th. Remember, you can listen to this episode's pre- and post-show shenanigans. If you want to do that, you got to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/NDS Podcast. That's it. It's simple. For $5, you get the pre and post show. Anyway, thank you so much. Remember to follow us and review us. If you're listening on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, whatever the hell they're calling it these days, please review the podcast. It helps us get in front of more people and more eyes, and it looks good, and it would be great. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Andy.
Follow me on Instagram, please. That would be great.
Yes. What's your handle?
It's Richard Epcar on Instagram.
There you go. I'm going to write it down so we can put it in the show notes.
Richard Epcar on Instagram. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Let's do it. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. And as always, please be excellent to each other.
Is this heed my warning, Earthrealmers?
Yes.
You guys are going to make me work for this fucking thing.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
All right,
heed
listen.
My warning, what you're about to hear is vastly more important than your ego, your enemy, or your... Hang on a second. I'm going to copy
this. Get in the zone.
Oh, this is a first for us. We've never had somebody read the cold open before.
We've never intro duties to anyone besides Steven, so it's an honor. All right, so
for who?
I'm so glad I'm recording that. That's gonna go on our post show audio. That's great.
Heed my warning, Earthrealmers. What you are about to face is vastly more important than your ego, your enemy or your quest for revenge. The realms are in crisis, and no matter how, and no matter, I just screwed that up completely. I just pooped the bed. All right, let's try that again. All right,
one more time.
You guys, you know, my God. All right.
My elder gods.
My elder gods. All right, here we go. Heed my warning, Earth Realmers. What you're about to face is vastly more important than your ego, your enemy, or your quest for revenge. Are you...
We're doing it. This, we're doing it. We're getting. We're,
oh my God!
Oh, by the way,
Richard Epcar's drunk, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you going through this?
Good Lord! All right, here we go.
Idea I had my entire life.
Yes, outtakes for the show. That's great.
Yes, yes.